from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This is Kennedy Classics. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Hello, I'm Frank Wright, and welcome to Kennedy Classics, a viewer-supported outreach of D. James Kennedy Ministries. In the new year, make sure to visit our ministry website, where you can find a rich library of digital, audio, video, and print resources. It's all available at djkm.org. Thomas Merton is credited with the old aphorism that perfectly captures a curious phenomenon. It goes like this. Many people spend their whole lives climbing the ladder of success only to find, once they reach the top, that the ladder is leaning against the wrong wall. We might call this a phenomenon of misplaced hope. People often will set their hearts on some goal or value or object above all others in their lives, only to find its achievement or realization profoundly disappointing. These are people whose mantra is, if I only had this or that or this other thing, then I would be happy. The problem is that when these things are realized, we still have a gnawing sense that something else is missing, with the happiness we hope for remaining elusive. At base, we can trace all this to a simple reality. We were made for more than this world alone can offer. Dr. D. James Kennedy speaks to all of this with his message, Empty Boxes.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, beginning with verse 7. May we listen carefully to the inspired, to the infallible word of the living God. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And may God speak to us through his holy word this day, and may his name ever be praised. Amen. Dr. Clovis Chappell, an outstanding preacher of a few years ago in America, tells an interesting story of an event that happened at an orphanage in a small village somewhere in this country that he attended as a child. It took place at an orphanage. There were 25 or 30 young people there of various ages, and they were gathered around in a large room with a beautiful, well-lighted Christmas tree. It was the awaited day when all of the presents would be handed out. And, of course, Santa Claus was there, ho-hoing his way from the tree to the individual person as he picked up the presents and announced the name. And finally, the last present had been given out. And standing in the back of the room was a feeble-minded young man that worked on some farm and did some work around the grounds of the orphanage, and he had hoped that this would be his day. But again, as usual, there was nothing for him. And his face took on an even more downcast look. When Santa Claus walked around behind the tree and picked up the largest box of them all and read his name, his unenlightened face lighted up with anticipation and joy, and he reached out his hands as Santa Claus made his way toward him. He took the box, set it down, and with nervous fingers and lightened eyes, he tore apart the ribbon and the wrapping and opened up the box. And there was nothing in it. It was empty. Apparently, some children had played a very cruel joke. When I read that story, I couldn't help but think that there are a lot of people like that. Oh, they're not idiots or feeble-minded. They may be very successful men in business or successful women in society. And yet, they're like him in one way. They all have some kind of box that they're eagerly looking for, working toward, slaving toward, giving their lives, their energy, their effort, their money toward. It's their thing. It is their box. But eventually, the day will come when the box is finally opened. For many, it will not come until the day they die. And when they open that box, they will find that it too is empty. And the laughing will not be children, but it will be the cackling of demons, that they have been deceived all of their lives in seeking something that would not last, something that could not endure, something that would not bring joy. They have ignored the one true source of joy, who is Christ, who has told us that at his right hand there is joy forevermore, and they have sought it among the material things of this world, and it has ultimately brought dissatisfaction. That's why there are so many people in this world today that live lives of depression and lives of defeat, lives of discouragement. And that's why in our country and many around the world, suicide is so prevalent today. The second largest cause of death among young people is suicide. And I think that it's tragic. Empty boxes, life without hope, without joy, without meaning, is an empty life indeed. It just doesn't matter. So, dear friend, I would like to ask you, what is in your box? You say, well, I don't have a box. Oh, yes, you do. And if you want to know what's in it, or at least what you think is in it, then just look back over the last year, or two, or five, or ten. What did you give your energy, your time, your effort, your labor, your money for? What was it that you seek? Was it fame? Is it wealth? Is it fun? I don't know what's in your box, but I know that if it's not Christ, then it will ultimately be a great source of discouragement and despair. At my right hand there is joy forevermore. Jesus said that he was the good shepherd. He came that people might have life and have it abundantly. Only Christ has that abundant life. A very intelligent man once wrote this. He said, I tried it. I made a business of happiness. He would be called today a hedonist. He said, I worked hard at the game, surrounded myself with all of the pleasures that senses could provide, withheld not my heart from any joy. And then one day, I drew a line under it all, added it up, and all I got was zero, nothing. I wonder how many of you know who said that. That's a very modernized version of some very old words. 3,000 years ago, they were penned by Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he is called. He ended with, "All is vanity, a striving after the wind, vanity of vanities." And yet, that's a picture of many intelligent college graduate, PhD, successful people in this world. Their life is a striving after the wind, and all, when it is all said and done, it's all going to be nothing but vanity. People dream dreams of these things, of what is going to bring them joy and happiness, peace, fulfillment. There was a young man who lived in a successful home with a good father and an older brother, and he dreamed a dream of the far country. And finally, he got his portion of the inheritance, and he went on his way to the far country, and he opened the box. And for a little while, there was fun. And then it all turned to ashes. And a great famine came on the land. And he was sent to feed the pigs and would have eaten the husks that the pigs ate. You remember that boy? He's called the prodigal son. But his story, in one way or the other, is a story of countless millions of people down through the ages. It just doesn't work. Why? Because we are more than material beings. In spite of the boast of a well-known singer who calls herself the material woman, someday she's going to wake up to find out she has a soul, a spirit, and that these things are going to turn to ashes. And there will be, I hope not, but if it's too late, there will be the cackling of demons and the eternity in hell. Why is it that these dreams, which seem so lovely in our minds, so desirable to make us happy, why is it that they are so elusive in reality? Well, of course, it's also because there's a law, a silent, invisible imperative in nature that stands on the road shaking its head, said Hamilton. No, it says this is not the way of life. This is the way of death. But as long as we're merely dreaming an idea, as long as we're merely thinking about something, nothing happens in nature. But as soon as we take it on the road, then we get nature's attention. And then, when the idea is attempted to be turned into reality, something happens. And all of a sudden, there is that inevitable law that stands up and says, no, this is the way to death, not to life. Did you ever wonder, for example, why it is that most of the Cubans coming up here from Cuba are conservatives and Republicans, and why most of the Latins coming from Mexico are liberal Democrats? Did you ever think about that? Why? Well, if you don't know, it's a very important principle, and I just told you what it was. The difference is very simple. The Cubans lived under the reality of communism. The Mexicans lived under the promises of communism. And they're still chasing their box. The Cubans know it's empty. They've turned away. So what is your box, your thing, your great goal in life? For many people, it's pure sexual fantasy. It's the delights of the flesh. I saw a little bit of a program just this last week or two It was a documentary on one of the big programs at night on the matter of pornography as it's seen on the internet, where there are apparently thousands of various places you can get almost any kind of pornography you would like to have. And there is even now ministry, as we have Alcoholics Anonymous, we have Internet Pornographers Anonymous, where they go to be try to be healed of the addiction. And I heard the testimony of several of them, and one man says he started out watching just a little bit of it, and then he watched a little more and more. And finally he got to the place that he was spending 10 or 11 or 12 hours a day doing nothing but watching all of the various pornography on the internet. Couldn't go to work. He often didn't even eat. But he said that every night when it was over, he despised himself. The box was empty, but he had become so addicted that he needed help. Many people often forget that one thing that all sins have in common, they are all addictive. Whether it is alcohol or drugs or pornography or any other kind of sin, the more you do it, the tighter the grip it gets upon you until you can't get free. No, what we seek and what we ought to seek are often very, very different. I am increasingly convinced that the majority of people in this country don't have the slightest idea what life is all about. Now, that may sound like a sweeping judgment, but I make it after watching and listening and counseling with people for many, many years. And it is tragic beyond words that such a thing could be true. But I believe that it is exactly the description of so many millions of people in America today. And I also believe it's a description of some of the lives of people sitting before me right now. And we get it everywhere. We're constantly bombarded with this is what we ought to be doing with our lives, whether it's on television or motion pictures or novels or wherever you may look. You're constantly being told that this is the life. Did you ever notice in most all movies, whenever a man has a date, why, 95% of the time, it ends up in the bedroom. It doesn't matter whether he or she is married or not. It's just given that that's the way life is. And that's what young people and everyone ought to be seeking. But, you know, the purveyors of this idea, we suppose, are people that know what life is all about. But consider some of the big names and novels and other things. How about Somerset Maugham? You can hardly find a character in any of his novels whom you could call happy, but he's an expert. Really? Listen to what he said. When I look back on my life, it seems to me strangely lacking in reality. It may be that my heart, having found rest nowhere else, had some deep ancestral craving for God and immortality, which my reason, his fallen, depraved reason, would have no truck with. Somerset Maugham. Or Thomas Hobbes, a great British author who gave us Leviathan, the tyrannical government. The life of man, he said, is solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. Very simple. Why, I'm sure he could tell us the secret of life, That's what he found it to be. Or the prince of skeptics, atheist agnostics, the Frenchman Voltaire. What did this brilliant man, and he was brilliant. He said, quote, "I think we human beings are indeed the most contemptible creatures on earth. I exhort you to enjoy as much of life as you can, which isn't much." Well, I'm sure he could help you to find the secret of life. Well, how about Macbeth? Now, Shakespeare was a Christian, but he wrote about many characters that weren't. And one of those, of course, was Macbeth. And what did Macbeth tell us about life? "Life is but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." No, you're not going to find it in the intelligentsia of this world. You're going to find it only in Christ. "I came that they might have life more abundantly." Have you experienced that abundant life? What is your thing? Is it to know Christ? Is it to advance his kingdom in this world? Is it to glorify him in what you do? He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." What is really in your box, my friend? I hope that it is Christ and his kingdom and his glory, and if so, you will find something that will not turn to ashes when you open the box and discover what it is, and you will not hear the cackling of demons when you do. So many people try so hard to find the meaning of life in so many other things. One man put it very poignantly like this. He said, "My freshness spent its wavering shower in the dust, and now my heart is as a broken font wherein tear drippings stagnate, spilt down ever from the dank thoughts that shiver upon the stifled branches of my mind. Such is what will be." If this is all there is, what awaits us in the world to come? He has seen a glimpse of the great Almighty. His name I know, and what his trumpet says. And his trumpet says, judgment to come. I would wish to say to those empty, hollow men and women that their plaintive song will end in a sob. I would say, come to Christ, the King of joy, in whom you will find that in him dwelleth all the fullness of joy and goodness and happiness. You'll find that your soul will be filled with the rivers of eternal life springing up everlastingly, and they will cause your soul to rejoice. Your song will not end in a sob, but with a hallelujah. And you will know him at whose right hand there are joys forevermore. And your box will be overflowing with joy, and goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May we pray. Father, deliver us from the deceit of Satan, from his empty ploys and his empty boxes. Help us to know, O Christ, that at thy right hand only there is joy forevermore. Let me seek it and find it, and help me then to rejoice eternally in thy goodness and thy grace. And Father, should there be those here today whose boxes they have discovered to be empty, whose lives are hollow and their joys are few and fleeting, may they look at Jesus Christ, the source of all joy, and say, "Come, thou fount of every blessing, come into my heart," and cause there to spring up wells of water eternally. I receive you as Lord and Master of my life. I turn from the lies of Satan to the promises of the living God, in whose blessed name I pray. Amen.
As Dr. Kennedy prayed, he mentioned turning to the promises of God. And one of those promises found in the book of John is, "Whoever believes in me has everlasting life." Did you just pray that prayer with Dr. Kennedy? If so, you've just begun to experience the promises of God, and there are many to encourage you along the way. We want to help you learn more of them by sending you Beginning Again, the book written by Dr. Kennedy for new believers. To receive your copy, just write to our address or call our toll-free number. Be sure to ask for Beginning Again. God bless you as you do.
The Lord is worthy to be trusted. As the psalmist declares of God, "In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." We can trust God and his everlasting plans. Would you enjoy a copy of this encouraging message for your own library or to share with others? We'll send you a DVD copy or CD copy of Dr. Kennedy's message, Empty Boxes, as our thanks for your generous donation toward the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11-64, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 888-332-3069, or you can go online to djkm.org. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Kennedy Classics. May God bless you and your family in the new year. We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.